Hey guys, this is MVP quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and I want to let y'all know that listening to George Washington is going to make you feel like you just won the big game. Yeah, you know the one I'm talking about. And it's going to make you feel like you got a beautiful ride-or-die wife that won't take that sass from all you haters out there. You know, about 5'9", blue-eyed in a sundress, loves Tim McGraw and a small-town accent. You know, that sort of thing. Actually, man, hold up. I don't think anything can make you feel that good, but it's important to at least try.
Welcome to the George Washington Podcast. I'm Daniel Spolf, and I'm going to be your guide through the first episode of, I know, will be many. I'm sure many podcasts before have believed to be in the same boat, looking forward to hundreds upon hundreds of future episodes, but only making it to maybe 3.5 episodes. But I'm in here for the long haul. But you're going to have to bear with me for a bit. You know, not many people listen to the first episode of a podcast, but all those people who do may or may not go on to listen to a second. But if you're here on day one, I really appreciate you. That's incredible. I got a lot of work to do. Made a lot of mistakes, as we all do. Getting back into the podcasting game after a while. Need to remember how to modulate my voice properly. It's like kicking the rust off tires or a cyber truck, if you will. But I believe that we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. In this first episode, I've got some incredible guests. I've got Jordan F. is going to talk about sports, a subject dear to his heart. And his soul, if I may be presumptuous enough to say that. Then we've also got Richard Ricardo, the Dick himself. And he's going to talk about his trip to Costa Rica and why tropical climates are not what a lot of people expect. There's a lot of unexpected downsides to them. And I mean, that's about it. But if you're listening, I really appreciate that again. It's really nice of you to do. And before we get to it, I just want to say congratulations on not one congratulation, multiple congratulations to Austin Matthews to getting 69 goals. I mean, I think that's impressive. I think it's very nice. And most of us have zero goals in the National Hockey League. So to me, I'm impressed. I don't know about you, but I find 69 goals very nice, very impressive. And I hope that the Leafs can do well in the National Hockey League playoffs, which we do not talk about in this episode, but that doesn't matter. It's just, listen, like, most people, I won't say most people, not most people, some people, well, most podcasters would be offended if you listened to their podcast or their program while you slept or you used it to sleep. But I mean, I do that. So if you do that, by all means, I would be proud. If you used this to sleep and you didn't really care about any of the content whatsoever, I'd be happy. I respect that. Whatever you need, whatever tool you use to get the job done, that's fine by me. All right. I'm just going to throw it to the great episode we've got lined up for you here in the headquarters of the podcasting place. Okay, bye. Hey.
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Hey.
All right, so what do you want to go by? You want Jordan?
Just call me Jordan F.
Jordan F. All right. That goes. Okay. Jordan F.
Yeah.
All right. Can I plug your Twitter account?
You know what? I haven't been too active on a platform X lately. So, you know, don't worry. I don't need no plugs, I guess.
All right. Okay. Cool. All right. Fair. You're doing it for the love of the game. It. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I'm doing it for the love.
All right. Awesome. Okay. So, as we all know on this program, well, I mean, it's the first episode, so we don't really know anything, but,
no.
You are a big fan of sports, so you're here to talk about sports. We got some sports to talk about. Where do you want to start? You want to start with Coyotes?
Yeah, why not? Let's get right into it.
Yeah, let's start with the Coyotes. So the Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes, are moving to Salt Lake City. It's official.
Yeah.
Like, I believe, like, just like a few hours ago, as of recording, there was a social media post.
Yes, you know it's official when it's social media official.
That's right.
Just like any good relationship, right, Daniel?
That's exactly right. That's so true.
And now, Ryan Smith and the NHL are in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's official. It's been documented online, indeed. So how do you feel about this? It's been a long time coming, I think.
You know what? How do I feel? It's crazy in a lot of ways, but also, first of all, just to start from the very beginning, this team should have moved when they got kicked out of Glendale. And after, like, there were so many other cities that this team could have ended up going to. And not that I necessarily have a problem with Salt Lake City, but because the Coyotes have been, like, rumored to move for basically the last 10 years, you know, there's, oh, they may go to Portland or Houston or Kansas City, or obviously Quebec City is the big one that up here in Canada we want to see, right? But it's just like the fact that it ended up being Salt Lake City, I think, is a bit of a surprise. And I think the NHL had no other choice at the moment because, like, they weren't getting a new arena done anytime soon.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, that seems accurate.
Yeah, and look, I would have loved to see them go to Quebec City, being living in Canada. I mean, as a Habs fan as well, that would have been great, having the, you know, Montreal-Quebec City rivalry back. But the fact is, the NHL didn't want to put a team in the East. It would have threw everything off balance. I just think, I'm not surprised by the move, because we saw this coming, whether it was going to be Houston, Kansas City, or Salt Lake City, which seemed to have come in now at the very end. I just think the parallels of, like, what ended up transpiring, like, you know, when Phoenix moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix back in 96, the exact same thing happened where they played in a basketball-specific venue for the first, like, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And things weren't great, and everyone was like, oh, it's the basketball-specific venue. Let's build them a hockey arena. They built them a beautiful hockey arena in Glendale. I get it. It's a bit far from the city, but still, it's an arena. Nobody came. Everybody's all like, oh, hockey belongs in the desert. I don't know if it does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know where. Also, the NHL and the former owner of the Coyotes, Alex Morello, come up with this, like, oh, we have the right now to reactivate the franchise within the next 5 years. Like, who gives this guy the fucking audacity to say that? Like, they make it seem like this team was, like, a barn burner of a product. You know, a friggin', like, something that was, like, oh, so valuable to the league. Like, how did we lose the Coyotes? How did we lose Coyotes? They were playing in a fucking kids arena for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that was,
like,
that was,
well, a dark, I just don't understand.
That was a dark
moment. I don't understand what gives these guys the audacity to say that when, like, you literally have been playing in a college arena for the past 2 years, and now all of a sudden, yes, you lost your team, but, oh, don't worry, like, we're going to get it back in 5 years. I think it's all bullshit. I just think the NHL didn't want to get sued by Alex Morello. But I don't know how he could be upset. He basically just got $1 billion for a business that has been bleeding money. So, I mean, that's pretty much my take on it. I mean, I could go on forever on this topic, but it's just frustrating. I mean, I'm happy that the team is going to a cold weather city where it actually snows.
That's true.
But Salt Lake City, we've heard it from NBA players. I get it. They're passionate fans, but man, there's just not really much going on there, and I would have really liked to see the team, you know, maybe go to, like, a potentially a bit better of a market. But hey, you know what? Anything's better than Arizona at this point, and I'm excited to see what they got going on. They're going to come up with a new name too. We'll see what happens. I mean, the basketball team's called the Utah Jazz. I mean, I know it's because. I forget why they're called the Jazz.
They relocated to, they're from, like, I think,
from New Orleans.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so there's no jazz music in Utah, so maybe they'll be maybe they'll be the Utah Cactuses.
Yeah.
You know? There's no cactuses in Utah. But they'll take something from their former state. I don't know. What do you think?
All right. Well, a few points on this. First of all, I think regarding Alex Morello, I think, first of all, you're right that they were very worried about being sued. So this was a easy out for them, or they were just trying to find some sort of resolution there. But the thing is that the... that team, that market, is one of the largest TV markets in the United States. So there's no way they're going to keep trying to put a team there. And if it has to be Morello, then it will be him. And that's part of why they paid him $1 billion. And that's why he cannot give the rights, sell the rights to someone else, because they want to see that, like, if in a perfect world, they would have had that building built, right? They just can't wait any longer because they're playing in like a children's arena, which is, it's just not feasible anymore. The other thing is that Glendale was, this team has just been stymied by so many setbacks. Like the team, like Glendale is not a very good place to play. It's a suburb. It's absurd for them to be there. They were on a year-to-year agreement with Glendale, and by the end, the town, the city hated them. They just thought it was
because they weren't they weren't paying their rent because they couldn't afford to because they weren't making any money.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
like I definitely see both sides, and I see why the NHL wants to make Arizona work. And listen, I am not opposed to an NHL team in Arizona. I know it might sound like it, but I'm not. I was vacationing in Arizona 3 years ago. It's a beautiful place. I went to a Coyotes game.
Yeah.
It was me and like three other people there, and it was a good time. The people of Phoenix are great.
Yeah.
I love Arizona. It's one of my favorite states in the United States. But I just don't know. Like the fans in, here's the thing about what you got to realize about southern states especially is that fans are very fair-weathered because there's a lot of other fucking things to do.
That's right, yeah.
So when you got a sport, like even a place like Miami, they love their basketball there. But if the Heat are 500, they're not selling out that arena.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because
the Dallas Mavericks, they don't sell out that arena.
Yeah.
It's a nice warm-weather climate. If you are not like... And that's why I think hockey struggles in some of these places because it's a very niche sport to begin with. And on top of that, fans are going to be fair weathered. Yes, you got your hardcore fans. There's hardcore fans of anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like wherever you go, like people say, you know, we got the Canadian Premier League here now, this new soccer league. People are like, well, there's nobody goes to these games. And it's like, oh, but there's all these hardcore fans that sit in this section that makes noise. And it's like, yeah, there's going to be hardcore fans of any team anywhere in any market. That's just facts.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's a big league market. And I understand the population and the TV market, but, you know, it just doesn't always end. It doesn't always end up working out that way. So do I think the Coyotes could work with a downtown arena? I do. But if you're the city of Arizona, if you're the city of Phoenix now, you know, they just renovated the Footprint Center where the Suns play.
Right.
They have an arena out in Glendale. You're going to build another arena in like Scottsdale or whatever. They want to build this other arena. You're going to have three arenas in this metro population. A city like Toronto, a world-class city, has one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like sometimes it's like, and I know they're going to say, oh, but it's all going to be privately funded. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes it's like arena overload. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think the best case for the Coyotes would have been if they somehow, you know, went to the Suns owner and Alex Mariello talked about a deal where, like, they renovated the arena and they were able to make that arena or built a new arena downtown for the Suns and the Coyotes. And then I think that would have worked out for the best. But I don't know. It's a sticky situation, I guess. But I just don't like I just don't like all this talk where it's like, oh, in 5 years, we're going to get our team back when you have all these other markets that have been waiting for a team for even longer. And like, why should Arizona get another shot? Like they're talking about an expansion of Arizona and Atlanta now.
Yeah.
I get it. They're big markets, but why should they get another shot before places like Quebec City or Kansas or Milwaukee or, you know, places like that, you know, hockey we know might already work and that, you know, just like it's a more hockey culture type of thing. And look, I'm all for growing the game, but I think, you know, they've done that with going to Seattle and Las Vegas. And I don't know, next expansion, I would like to see them go to more traditional hockey markets.
Well, what I would say to that is Look, how does the NHL really make money? First of all, it's with TV revenue, which is well, I mean, the number one thing is taken, like ticket sales, right? For each team, that's probably the number one driver. But the second driver that they want to increase as a league would be the television contract. And it doesn't matter for the league how many people go to the game if it increases the amount of possible viewers for that team and people that you can sell eyeballs to via advertising, right?
Yeah. No, and I understand that point. But also the NHL is a very gate-driven league where teams make a lot of money off their gate. So you could say the opposite is true as well, because to be honest, the NHL doesn't draw too well on their, on major markets down in the States. But then, like, they get outdrawn by like...
Right, yeah. But then what's the other like big driver of income for these teams? I shouldn't even say teams, for the owners. It's expansion money. Like... That's
for sure.
That's a big driver, that they're making money from getting these people to buy into the league.
But then you also have to ask your fans and should the NHL go to 34 teams? Like, you would dilute the product a little bit.
Oh God, no, I mean, they shouldn't. Yeah. I feel like personally,
why are we like Gary Bettman just said at the NHL All-Star game in Toronto, where we are. He said, we are not looking at expansion in the near future. Why are we bending the rules for Arizona? That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I get it. It was probably just a cop-out so that way they don't get sued. So that way Alex Noriello will give up the Coyotes franchise and take the $1 billion and shut up. But that just rubbed me the wrong way as a hockey fan.
Yeah, I just wanted to cap off basically my thoughts by saying this. Like, the NHL just told us that they're not willing to expand in the near future. Now all of a sudden we're bending the rules for Arizona. We're, you know, a hockey market that hasn't really contributed to anything. Like, I understand Austin Matthews, whatever, he's from Arizona, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's almost like Arizona has got this special treatment from the league that no other team that had this type of trouble got, you know? So, and now we're like trying to get them back in the league as soon as possible. I don't know. It just, to me, look, let's just call it like it is. They couldn't get an arena. There wasn't enough fan support. It was poorly run, bad owner after bad owner. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out. It happens in sports sometimes. It's sad. It sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, they moved. And, like, let's not rush and go back there is all I'm saying. Like, if we're going to go back to Arizona, like, they got to make sure that all their ducks are in a row, you know?
Well, like, 5 years is a long time, right?
Yeah. But we'll see what happens.
Like, the Winnipeg Jets lost their team in 1996.
Yeah.
And they got it back when, like,
I think in 2013.
Yeah.
So, 2016. Like, it was, like, almost 20 years.
I think that's the time horizon we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Like, I think they'll be back, but I don't think it will be anytime soon. Now let's look at the other side of the equation. Salt Lake City. They've got this owner of the Utah Jazz, as you said. What's his name? Ryan Smith.
Yes, Ryan Smith.
Yeah, NHL brass seems to really like him. How do you feel about him?
He seems like a solid owner. He seems pretty invested. He seems pretty invested into Utah. Yeah, I mean, I think with owners, it's like, if you don't hear from them, if they're quiet and there's no news on them, like, it should mean they're a good owner, because that means, like, you know, everything is, it's a functioning, like, company they're running, and no one's, you know, you've heard stories of owners and this and that, and, like, Alex Morello, you know, billionaire, not paying hotel bills, apparently, or, you know, past, you know, bad NBA owners. So I think he'll be fine.
And yeah, I like the idea of the NHL in Utah, by the way. Like I just find it surprising that after all these cities, like they could have went to with this team, like it ended up being Utah.
Right.
But you know what? They already have plans to build a brand new basketball and NHL arena within the next 5 years. They're trying to get the Olympics. So
I think that's the major thing that they're pretty much like a lock, they believe, to be the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, the host of the 2034 Winter Olympics games. So listen, I think it'll work out. Like I said, though, the first 5 years up until they get that new arena, it's not going to be a great experience for the fans. I mean, they're going to play in a basketball specific venue with bad poor sight lines. You know, it only seats up to 14,000 for hockey, and about a couple thousand of those seats have obstructed views, so it's going to be a little weird. But you know what? The Islanders did it when they played in Brooklyn for a few years while their new arena was getting built. They played in a basketball-specific venue. So, look, it's been done before. I'm sure it'll end up working out. But, you know, let's just hope that the team starts to have some success, because, you know, if they're not doing too well, like if they don't do too well first 2 or 3 years and then attendance starts to dwindle, like there'll be questions around that too. So, but I think it will go well. And you know, it's nice to have a like another team in like a cold weather market.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have a natural rivalry with Colorado, division rivals, both like mountain states. So yeah, I think it'll go well. And I'm excited to see what team name they choose.
Yeah. I think there'll be initial excitement. That'll carry them for a few years at least.
Yeah.
Just as an aside.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, when Vegas came into the league, they hit the ground running with so much success. Seattle came into the league. They had a bit of success, but not as much as Vegas. Those two teams have seemed to be doing, like, great in terms of attendance. Like, you know, attendance. People like to watch them on TV. It's like they've had success on like off the ice and on the ice in Vegas's case. But so hopefully Arizona follows that. Do you know what I mean?
But to note,
sorry, Utah.
Yeah, to note, those are two markets without a basketball team.
No, you're right. You're right, and that's why I was also a little surprised, because I feel like the NHL and their last two expansion efforts, you know, purposely went to places without an NBA team. So it's like, okay, we're like the only ticket in town in the winter.
Yeah.
And it's worked out in both their favor. But having said that, it looks like the NBA is going to expand soon, and they're going to go to both Seattle and Las Vegas. So, you know, that could... We'll see how that affects the hockey teams there. You know, it's something no one really talks about, but you know, now that there'll be basketball teams in town, you know, will hockey dwindle a bit? You know, will it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like basketball is the bigger sport in both those markets. It's just they don't have a team. So,
I think that I think that Vegas, I don't foresee a problem with that, just because a lot of the ticket sales they get for Vegas, they have a strong fan base in Vegas, but also a lot of people are flying to Vegas and going to see their favorite team, so that drives a lot of the sales as well.
I think anything can work in Vegas. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, as for Seattle, that is to be determined. We'll see if that keeps up.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, as I was going to say, as an aside, just like a tangent, what do you think, okay, hypothetically, if the NHL expands and with any more teams, like let's say they add like 6 more teams, would you support relegation?
That relegation,
it's not that I wouldn't support it, but there's no point of having the conversation because it'll never happen in North American sports.
It needs to happen, though, at a certain point.
You know what? It's almost like if sports leagues get to a place where they're like in the 40s of teams, I don't know if that'll happen in my lifetime, but like let's say you have an NHL with like 40 teams.
Yeah.
Or 40, you know, like I think what will probably happen first is an expanded playoffs. If you're up at like 34 to 36 teams.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe you do top couple teams get a bye or something, or if the first round is best of five, so it goes by a bit quicker and more teams make it, or maybe like a play-in tournament or something. I don't know. It's there's so many things you could do when you have that many teams. But look, if you're at a point where you have 40 teams, I could potentially see like a relegation where like, maybe not that you're put in a lower league, but okay, like if you finish bottom 10 the next year, because most teams rebuild anyways, it's like, okay, you can't compete for the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you could compete to like get to compete the next year. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know if it would be a full on relegation where like, oh, you're out of the league. Your team's in the AHL because, you know, if let's say you had a team like the Leafs rebuilding and they got sent to the AHL, it's like the biggest market in the league.
That would be insane.
Like that would, you know, like who are they going to play?
This is the thing.
Like the Rochester Americans.
Right. But this is the thing is like the issue, why I bring that up is like the issue I see right now is that the quality of the teams is diminishing because it's not just dilution, it's also the cap, like the salary cap, salary cap is creating teams that are just like kind of mid, like they're not, there's no like, I would say like there's no like really amazing, like a team that you would see in the pre-cap era, like where like defense, offense, goaltending, like it's all like you don't see
like
any
Colorado
differences.
Avalanche,
right,
of the late 90s,
exactly.
Detroit Red Wings. I think it's more the cap at this point than you know, a diluted product, because I do believe 32 teams in the NHL works. There's a lot of great hockey players in the world, lots of, you know, it's there's a lot of depth in hockey, you know, like there's, you know, the NCAA system, there's the CHL, there's players overseas. But yeah, the salary cap makes it extremely hard to have a super team. I don't know. They're saying the cap's going to go up, you know, a lot in the next 5 years. So that might change things. But, you know, having said that, I would like to see some cap flexing rules where maybe they could do like the MLS or the NFL where it's like, okay, you could designate one player, maybe two players, maybe like a forward and a defense or something, like, or a forward and a defense or a goalie to like, you could pay this guy like designated, you know, off cap player.
Right.
Because he's going to be with the, because, you know, we're going to sign him for 8 years. He's going to be with the team for so long that like, he's like our designated player. And maybe if a team, you know, he's got a no trade clause anyways, and maybe if a team wanted to trade for him, then they would be taking on his cap hit. But, you know, as long as he's, you know, on our team, fulfilling his contract, he's designated as a non-cap player or something like that. I don't know. It's lots of numbers and business talk at that point, but I'm sure there's a way they can make it work.
Or they could just let have not teams sell their cap space.
Yeah, there's that too.
But I mean, it's already like that already kind of happens now.
Yeah, they sell dead cap space so that way teams could get to the floor, and they get draft picks or young players, and other teams,
you know, could ship off a guy that who's going to be injured the rest of his career, but he still has 3 years left on his contract to a team that doesn't want to, which, by the way, Arizona tittle hot of the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But, you know, so I don't know. Were they really ever trying to win? That's the thing, too. It's like I understand they have all these good young players now, but I don't know. It's...
I think one time they were trying to win, but it's for the past like 5 years or so, they're just trying to keep their heads above water.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, it's nice to see this Arizona saga finally over. And like I said, excited for Utah. I think the NHL, it just be, you know, players didn't like going to that little arena.
Yeah.
So
it also, I should also say that like that arena, it does not film well at all. It looks terrible as well. They kind of have fixed it, but like it still looks absolutely terrible on television.
Yeah, I agree. It's a college arena. It's like where the Seneca Sting play.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I've got no segue for this, but how you feel about Shohei Ohtani?
Well, you know, we're talking about the gambling thing, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know where you want to start. We could start all at the beginning with the like free agents thing.
Well, listen, I'm not going to lie. I was duped by that airplane thing.
I was totally duped. I told people at work that it was going down.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, listen, Shohei, he's coming to Toronto.
Yep.
Like, how could he not be coming to Toronto? You ready? Like, you know, we got a great Asian population here.
Yeah.
I mean, we got fantastic Japanese restaurants.
That's right.
I just thought like, yeah, whatever the weather, he'll be here in the summer anyways. And you know, when you're a billionaire, do you even go outside much? Like, come on. You're probably like, you know, there's so many things you could do inside that like, I don't know. Anyways, the free agency thing really threw me off. I was really hoping he would come here, but you know what? At the end of the day, everybody knew he was going to be a Dodger probably. So, yeah. But this whole thing with his translator.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where my stance is on this. I don't believe Shohei Ohtani was gambling, and I don't believe he was gambling on baseball.
Right.
But I definitely think he knew his translator was gambling.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think he knew his translator was taking the money and gambling.
Yeah.
I think Shohei, listen, athletes, I love them, but they do one thing every day. They train or play the sport they're playing. A lot of them are not smart people.
Well, I mean, if you're at that level, it's with good reason because you're making millions of dollars. So why even focus on anything else?
No, you're right. And that's where I was going with this. I think he is he's in America. All his family's back in Japan. Like, he's probably by himself with this guy, Ipe, you know. He put all his trust in him.
Yeah.
And I think Ipe was just like, hey, listen, dude, like, you know, just been gambling. You mind if I take some, you know, going to take some money? I think, you know, maybe in like passing, like, you know, Shohei's like, you know, at the batting cage, right? Like he's hitting balls, like, bang,
yeah,
bang, bang. And, you know, Ipe's like behind him, like leaning on the cage, like, hey, you know, Shohei, I'm, you know, he's on the phone with the bank and he's like, hey Shohei, you mind if we transfer this amount of money, borrow a couple bucks, I need to pay my friend John Bookie, is that okay?
And he's like, well, you know, he's hitting balls. He's focused on these pitches coming in. He's like, you know, whatever you need. He's So I think he was duped. And I think he knew his translator was probably gambling. I just don't think he probably knew the extent.
Right.
But also, like, the whole, like, emails and texts that, like, have been, like, exposed. Like, there was one point where Ipe was, like, he was sending his bookie, like, $500,000 because he lost a bet. And he's just like, oh, you could see I'm really bad at this. Ha, ha, ha. Like,
yeah, right.
I don't care how rich you are. Who laughs at, like, losing $500,000? And I think Shohei knew what was going on, but he was kind of caught in a place where maybe he would, like, felt so bad for him. Because I could see him also being a very kind and genuine person that he wanted to see Ipe maybe, like, get himself out of it. So he kind of just, like, let it happen. But I don't believe for a second he didn't know anything that was going on. I don't believe, there's a lot of people think that he was gambling. I don't believe he was gambling and betting on sports, but I don't believe he didn't know that Ipe was taking money from him.
Right. Okay. So the two points here, I think that Shohei, if we're just like speculating here, I think he knew what was happening, but he did not know the degree because he probably at a certain point he couldn't hide it, but he probably downplayed it quite a bit more than it was actually happening. He was losing millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
The second thing is that perhaps, like, Shohei, you come from a country where, like, they don't really have legalized gambling, and then you come to the United States and you're just inundated all the time with gambling ads everywhere. And it seems like very normal. Seems like a very normal thing that everyone seems to do. It's like just like going to buy a lotto ticket or something. So, like, let's just...
Hey, I'm just playing the lottery. I want to win money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a little bit of fun. Yeah.
Exactly. Right? I don't think Shohei knew that how illegal he was. Like, it's not like he was on FanDuel. Like, he was, like, behind an alley sending cash to a guy.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right? So I don't think, you know, maybe they were driving one day and Ipe's like, hey, like, I just got to go get a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
At this convenience store, and Shohei's like, well, you don't even smoke. And Ipe is just like, you know, I'm got a lot of things on my mind. He walked behind the convenience store.
What are you doing? Like, writing fan fiction here now?
I think it's so funny. Yeah. I just think this whole story's hilarious. You got to remember, I know Shohei just signed that $700 million deal, but this was all going on when he was with the Angels.
Right.
I mean, Shohei was only making like $6.5 million a year.
Yeah, but he doesn't. The Angels. The thing is that's the thing is that he doesn't even need the money from his contract. He makes way more money with endorsements.
On endorsement.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think this guy must have been either like draining all his baseball checks or something Shohei was probably getting all his checks from endorsements, and then Ipe, you know, he's like, hey, don't I get paid from the Angels too? And Ipe's like, ah, don't worry, I'm putting it in mutual fund, you'll get it.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, like, in a way it's like not that uncommon from a lot of other sports athletes where they just a guy that they know says that they have their finances under control, and then they find out it's all gone.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like I said, I think he's an innocent guy. I think he's a very genuine guy. I think he's probably looks like he's a little too nice for his own good.
Yeah.
But I don't think he didn't know that Ipe was gambling. And yes, I think it was like a little bit of, okay, he has my money, it's in good hands. But yeah, you know, he's gambling, whatever. Like, he probably just thought, oh, it's the money that I'm paying him. But little did he know, you know, he was taking more. I don't know.
Well, I hesitate to speculate on his personality, because Shohei Ohtani just seems to be like kind of a black box. Like he kind of keeps his personality under wraps. We rarely know anything about him. Like, we don't know anything about his wife or girlfriend or whatever, except that he has one. He has like a dog, but we don't know what it looks like. Do we know any of his hobbies besides baseball? Not really. So, yeah. I don't know if he's a nice guy. Maybe he's... But I don't think that he was truly involved at all. That's just my take on that. Okay, speaking, just with the little time we have left, let's talk about Raptors. What we might as well start with, what's his name, Jonte?
Yeah, Jonte Porter.
Yep,
exactly. Speaking of gambling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Banned. Just banned for life.
Boom.
Yep.
And you're going to see him and Ipe at the black
That's right.
Down in Vegas. Yeah.
Or citing, I don't know, newspapers if they still make those.
Yeah. Shining shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Yeah, that was a weird story. I don't even know what to make of that, to be honest. Like, a guy betting against himself.
Right. It's like the anti, what's it? It's the anti Van Vliet.
Anti Van Vliet method. You know, we had a guy who bet on himself. Now we have a guy who bet against himself.
Yeah. I think, but it's almost symbolic about how this Raptors team is. Like, by the end of the year, it felt like everything that they had built 5 years ago had like just crumbled to nothing. It's like guys who don't care at all. Like, it's one thing to be a bad team. It's just another thing where they're just like signing guys on 10-day contracts. They look like they don't give up. They don't care at all. After they lose, they're just like, whatever. Another loss. Where are we going to eat afterwards?
Yeah. No, you know what? I'll be honest with you. This season was probably the least amount of Raptors basketball I've watched in a long time, because I really wanted this team to start to rebuild a year or two ago.
Yep.
But for some reason, Masai, and you know what? They wanted to win. You can't knock a management for wanting to win, but the writing was just on the wall, like, to blow it up 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All they got were some like mid picks for Siakam. We got nothing for Van Vliet. Okay, getting RJ Barrett and Emmanuel quickly for Ananobi was a nice package, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you could have got more for him last year. There was rumors Portland, when they were trying to keep Dane, was willing to offer like 2 to 3 first round picks for OG alone.
Yeah.
So they really dropped the ball, man. And that really pissed me off, because in basketball, when you know your guys want out, you got to get rid of them. And when you know you have like, when you got a star player and you're in a market like Toronto, and it's just a 50-50 shot that you're going to be able to retain them in the off season, you're better off just getting rid of them. Honestly, stockpiling the picks, taking the cap space, being really bad for a year or two is better than middling for like 5 years. And I think the Raptors are going to be in that situation. I don't see them, you know, being that much better next year. I mean, what, maybe a play-in team, maybe a 7th or 8th seed. So then we're already looking at 3-4 years of mediocrity. Maybe in 2 years they'll be better. Look, I think they'll get back to a, you know, playoff team eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just would have preferred if they started the rebuild a lot earlier.
Well,
but
what
you
about
can't look back now?
What about the Siakam trade? The Siakam trade was like, looks terrible compared to what they could have gotten. The worst part, but bad aspect of it is that this is a player who actually wanted to stay in Toronto.
Yeah.
They were not willing to meet his his price demand.
Yeah. But they knew that last summer.
Yeah.
So why didn't we just trade him last summer?
Exactly.
That's what I don't understand. We would have got a lot more. But the thing with Siakam too is he's going to be very good with Halliburton, and we're going to have to play him multiple times a year.
Yeah.
Being in the same conference and all. But you know what? I don't know. Hopefully Masai and the boys could have another good draft, and then, you know, just slowly start to make their way, climb back up in the standings. You know, hopefully Scotty Barnes turns into a perennial all-star. But look, right now at this point, it's a lot of hope. So I don't know. I really don't know what to make of the Raptors, what direction they're going in. Like I said, it would have been so much better if they got more for Van Vliet and Siakam, but it just didn't happen. And like I said, last year, if they just sold the farm and got into the lottery, I'm not saying they would have got Wembanyama, but, you know, with basketball, when you see a generational talent in the draft, you got to do your best if you know you're not going to be. You got to do your best to do your worst.
I agree with that 100%. That's the nature of the system. The system of the NBA draft, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm excited for the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
It sucks when the Raptors aren't there, but hey, maybe those Leafs get it done this year.
Well, I mean, on a personal note, I think that the NBA is the league where if the Raptors or if the hometown team sucks, it's still entertaining to watch anyways. Although with NHL and hockey, I would say that I will always watch an Oilers game if it's on.
Yeah, same. Watching McDavid is great.
It's crazy. He's I would say watching Westbrook or when he was good. Or even LeBron James. It's like watching someone who is clearly better. You could have a novice understanding of the sport and you can just see, oh, that guy is better than all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, McDavid it's almost like he belongs in a whole other league.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why, you know, the first two rounds of the NHL playoffs, I'm very excited. They're always great.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you go now.
All right. Thanks, dude.
I wish you the best, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Salut.
Yeah. This was good. Take care.
Richard, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well.
Nice.
It's a pleasure to be joined by Richard Dick P. What would you like to go by?
I'm thinking Ricardo.
Ricardo. Okay. That's not really connected. Okay, I'm not even gonna. I guess it kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about and the subject of our discussion today. So you're feeling? How you feeling?
I feel okay. I mean, I felt worse, but I've definitely felt better.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, isn't that everyone though?
Yeah, you know, it's. Sometimes it just is what it is.
It is what it is, bro. It is what it is.
Yeah.
How's the illness? I heard you got sick while in Costa Rica, was it?
Yeah, it's known as the Kentucky cough, I'm told.
Mm.
This was from the trip leader that told us. He's like, you know, most of you are going to get the Kentucky cough by the end of this trip. And I think he just refers to people just drinking too much or partying too much, and then their throat bothers them, so they have a cough or something. But that's what it kind of felt like when it started. And I didn't go that hard, but, you know, I am older now.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
These late nights, they don't sit the same as they used to.
Yeah.
But, I had this cough about halfway through the trip, and it was nothing like painful, but it was just very irritating and kept going on and on. And then eventually, by the time I got back to Canada, it was only coming up at night. It seemed like a lot. Like, I was just like really needed the cough constantly once it was past like 10 p.m. And it's kind of been like that ever since, although today it is a bit sore, so who knows.
You've got a little bit of a rasp in your voice. That's a upside if you, maybe you don't like it, but I think it suits you. Suits you just fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, please speak on the trip a little bit. How was Costa Rica?
It was really nice. I didn't really know much about the country going into the whole experience. I don't know if you've heard of this before. They're called Kentucky Tours, and it's basically like a company that you book through for an entire itinerary, including accommodations and some meals included and activities.
Mm-hmm.
And they have essentially a pre-planned trip for you.
Right.
And you go on it, and there's, you know, 20 to sometimes apparently even up closer to 40 on some trips and total number of other people.
Yeah.
And you all travel together. You hop on a bus, you go from resort to hotel to resort or whatever that's planned depending on the place. They have a bus rented out that has a driver just for your group,
right,
and a tour guide who just knows the area, probably lived there. And all in all, it's a really cool experience. It's a great way to actually see the country, because I know if I was doing this solo, I would not have been able to see all the shit that I did see and do in the 9 days that I spent there, especially a country like that, because there's no real infrastructure to get around, like not even like trains or anything. Everything's just by bus.
Right.
And bus or just renting a car, I guess.
Yeah. What kind of buses?
Like a coach bus, has like AC.
Well, I know on your trip you had a bus, but I mean in the general populace, do they have like coach buses there?
I saw buses, but they did not look like a good time because they had no AC, and it's like 40 to 50 degrees in some places. It's really fucking hot. Sorry, can I say the word fuck on here?
You can say whatever you like. I'm not here to police you.
Oh, thank God, finally.
But feel free to continue.
Yeah, so, I don't know of other accommodations or situations that can be planned for that sort of thing, that sort of trip, but doing it through Kentucky was super easy. And there's a bunch of different companies that do the exact same thing with different names and stuff
This isn't an ad for Kentucky.
No, I don't want to, you know, sponsor anyone here. But, it's incredibly convenient, and it was really cool. So I went with my girlfriend, and then we met a bunch of people. Most of them were from North America, either just somewhere in the States or Canada.
Right.
And then there were two Brits and one Australian. So it was a pretty, pretty diverse group, I guess you could say.
Right. Did you know that it's the 23rd happiest country in the, according to the World Happiness Report?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And that seems like a pretty good ranking.
Do you have any like generalizations about the people or the culture of Costa Rica that hit you different?
Well, it's like, I mean, it's pretty common knowledge with a lot of people, like a lot of areas in Latin America is this thing called Latino time. And I know I can say this with confidence because I am involved in a Latino video game Discord.
Right.
Filled with Latin men from Argentina to Mexico. And they've described something to me called Latino time.
Right.
And let's say, you know, half an hour of regular time equals 1 hour Latino time.
Right.
Now, do with that information what you will. But, yeah, it was definitely a thing while I was there. It was not eye-opening, but it was interesting.
Right. I think the heat, it's like you can't really get anything done quickly there.
100%. Yeah. No, it's bad, man. It's so hot. You know, you know me. I'm not adjusted for that type of climate.
Yeah, you're not built for that.
And going outside for a minute and then you're just sweating buckets, like more than I have in a sauna after, you know, like usually it takes me 5 to 10 minutes in a sauna to really get the sweat going. I just had to step outside for like 30 seconds right. And I was already dripping. It was awful. I mean, it was great, but it was also awful. There's a certain threshold where I was like, this is just way too uncomfortable.
Right. There's a lot of there's a lot of like unforeseen things about living in a hot or tropical climate, like large insects. You feel you get sick easier, I believe. Like, it's just like
makes sense. I mean, I didn't know that, but I mean, it checks out with my situation. So
right. You can't really accessorize the same that you would in a more cold weather climate. You have to wear less.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, some people love the hot weather, and mm-hmm. I like it too. But I don't know. It reached a point, especially one night where the sun was down. It was nighttime, and I was just still sweating buckets. And we went to this restaurant, and it's so frustrating when you put on clean clothes and then you just go outside and then you're just drenched in sweat.
Yeah,
and it's really uncomfortable.
If you moved to somewhere like that, you'd have to find a whole different wardrobe of just thinner clothes, one layer. And so that you don't maybe just like mesh t-shirts.
Maybe, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Before you go, is there anything else you wanted to get off your chest? Is there something that's getting your goat lately?
I would just say this isn't unique, but the state of the TTC is always a really disappointing aspect of life.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
I found out today, and I didn't know this, and I don't know if you know this, whenever the subway shuts down, which is pretty much every day at some portion. Yeah,
that's right.
And they have shuttle buses, which I don't think they should call them shuttle buses, because shuttle buses sound like some exclusive, luxurious transport from the airport to your hotel or something.
Right.
These are replacement buses. These are substitute buses. They're just buses.
Yeah.
They have people that help direct you to where the stop is to get on the shuttle bus, and they wear those aprons in red, and it's got a big eye on them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, those people get paid to do that, and there's always way too many, and they all just point you to the street outside of the subway station.
Yeah.
So that's I just thought it was interesting. I mean, I knew, I figured that they may have gotten compensated. I don't know. I had an idea that maybe they were volunteer, but I don't know. Apparently they get paid.
They do get paid, yeah.
And it's like, it must be like an on-call thing, you know, like all, you know, do they shine like a light in the sky? And it's like a TTC logo and they all just like show up.
I got to ask someone about that. Yeah, that's a future
kind of system.
That's a question to be answered. Great, great question. Yeah.
Save it for another episode.
I remember one time they had the shuttle bus and then I get out those volunteers or whatever. Not volunteers, paid volunteers. It's kind of they brought us up outside, and then the line was ridiculously long. And since it takes a bunch of buses to replace a subway car or a full subway train, you could just walk faster than the line of buses. It was crazy. Oh,
absolutely, yeah. I've done that before.
It's funny, it's funny. They're probably going to, by the time they finish building all this new transit that should be, that should counter all of these breakdowns and create parallel service, I'll probably not live here or be dead or maybe in jail. Who knows?
Find out next week.
Exactly. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say? You want to plug anything? You got a new new book or something?
Sign up for Contiki. Get a 25% discount with the discount code Ricardo. Yeah, don't forget to like and subscribe to my Twitch stream and OnlyFans to come soon.
Free for the first 90 days.
You know, at the start of the trip on the bus, I said to everyone, you had to say your name and a couple things about you. It was like an icebreaker. So I introduced myself as Rich in the Streets, Dick in the Sheets.
Yeah, and, buddy.
It went really well. Everyone really enjoyed that one. I got to use that for my OnlyFans.
That's right. For sure. Definitely. How do you feel about Grady Dick?
Grady Dick.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I mean, the basketball player. There's a basketball player now named Grady Dick that plays for Toronto.
I feel like I should know that, and I've probably heard that before, but I'm a big time normie when it comes to sports. That's and okay. I don't, you know, you tell me Tom Brady and I'm like, okay, so did he get the free throw?
Well, I mean, the thing, did he get the free throw? Yeah, home run, whatever. The thing you need to know about Tom Brady is that his wife left him for like her a trainer, and that he kisses his kid on the mouth.
Isn't he married to Taylor Swift?
No, that's a different guy. That's Travis Kelce, dude.
No, I knew that. I was just totally
Don't even joke about that.
Even I know that.
Did you know that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were on vacation after a long couple of months doing their work between NFL and the National Music Association, which I'm sure Taylor's a part, or her tour or whatever. And apparently Swifties thought that he wasn't in shape enough for her. He wasn't buff enough.
No one's good enough for her.
No one seems to be good enough for her.
She's the queen.
She is the queen. But you're a duke, at least in my books. Or a lord. Duke. A lord.
I like that. Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan of the new Dune movies, both part one and two. Right. And I just immediately thought Paul Atreides, that man's the Duke of Arrakis.
Yeah.
I'd be down to be a Duke.
All right, there you go.
That's cool.
You heard it here first, y'all. Yeah. I guess I'll let it go. I mean, I don't really have anything else to ask. It's a pleasure talking to you, though.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I enjoyed the phone call.
Mm-hmm. And I'll speak to you soon. Very soon. Like maybe I'll hang up and just call back again.
And episode two started.
All right. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
Peace.